Blog Talk Radio. everybody. How's it going? It's Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? We are going to sit here and go over some things real quickly and go this, that, and the other and go, hey, let's go some... Oh, we pushed the wrong button here. If you're in the chat room, we'll be glad to answer some questions for you. But if you actually want to get a reading, we ask you to call in. Okay. The heck? Did you have one of these pop up on your screen? You're trying to get rid of them? If you want to call in and get a reading tonight, please do so at 646-721-9031. Let's see. Welcome to everybody. Welcome. So please call the number. You can ask anything you want. 646-721-9031 is the number to call. For a great private reading, if you want to call me for a private reading for only $1 a minute, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com or my email address, which is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Or you can come by my shop in Manitou Springs at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Sometimes it's best if you call ahead of time to set an appointment. If not, we do take walk-ins, so if you're walking by, just come on in. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, so Manitou Springs, we have a lot of tourists and nothing come through here and that kind of stuff, so if you want to get one of those, please do so. It would be great. We like working with people in person, so therefore you have choices. You can either call and get a reading, or you can come by the shop and get some insight, personal reading, or personal insight. All right, so I was sitting there going over some things today. What we're going to sit there go over in the show as we go through each one of the calls. And we are starting to get callers in there, so get in there as fast as you can. I was sitting there going over some things when we keep talking about relationships in general anyway. It seems like a lot of people have got things in reverse, because I keep hearing this thing all the time, and people talking about this, and basically with people with their theories and their testing and that kind of stuff, and the ideal of what they keep focusing the most on is physical connections with people, which most people are right. Those things don't last very long. If it's just physical, that's the difference. If it's just a physical connection, then I'm the same way. I don't feel like they have a lot to really do with things going on. And I've heard that so many times with people in situations and relationships and people focusing. And when you get that focus going on, just looking for that physical attraction, I think it's why a lot of people are disappointed. Disappointments from the ideal of expectations that didn't play themselves out because they wasn't really open up to the whole situation. You know, when we talk about balance in relationships, it's balance between two people, but the balance has to start with oneself first, which means you have to have balance between your physical and your spiritual. You also have that balance between giving and receiving, balance between structure and flow, being and doing. The one thing about being and doing people talk about the most is the ideal. They have a tendency to be in the doing mode where they feel like they got to do something all the time. For example, dating services, bogus bullshit. Okay, people going and pursuing relationships, okay? When you look at the situation, that actually defies the law of attraction. The law of attraction says, basically, everything good for you, everything good that you desire will come to you, okay? Now, some people can look at it in a very constructive way of going on dating services and connecting with a person, and I have actually heard some stories about that, but not many. But if you sit and look at the situation, it's like school anymore, colleges and those kind of things. It's all become a business. So no one's really focusing on service. Everybody's focusing on, money. And it's getting crazy where I've got people calling me 20, 30 times to say, hey, I heard you want to continue your schooling. And I say, no, I never did that. I never said that. But it's the ideal. They're focusing on that whole situation. So therefore, it's not the ideal. If they really had some insight, they would know exactly if I was going to go back to school, whatever you're going back to school for. It's the same thing with relationships. You got all these people, these dating services, say, hey, we can guarantee that we can find the right one for you. But realistically, the only person who can do that is you. Because we've actually had some conversations talking to people, and it's amazing how people get that blank stare in their face when you ask them, what is true love? What is true love? The answer to that question is you. If you don't have any faith in yourself, if you don't love yourself unconditionally, how in the world are you going to really attract someone into your life and the idea of what you want? As when I say attract, it's the law of attraction. The law of attraction is based on energy, not physical attraction. Physical attraction is a worldly connection, and the idea of a spiritual connection is the one thing that happens first. A spiritual connection will be the very first thing that happens between you and your significant other, of the person you're supposed to be with. The world has got everything freaking so much, I don't know, stagnated with the idea of just pick a person and go with it, then no one's paying attention to the idea of what is a soulmate? What is a twin flame? What is a spiritual connection? Those are the connection everybody's looking for. At the same time, they'll settle for a physical one. And when it doesn't last, they want to blame the world. In some ways, maybe they should, but seriously, in the process of blaming the world, you're still not taking the responsibility for yourself unconditionally. Once you take the responsibility for yourself unconditionally, 100%, that's when you're going to see the really strong positive connection and the positive changes that will happen in your life. When you love yourself unconditionally, you will find someone who's going to be on the same page as you are, as loving themselves unconditionally, which actually makes it easier to love each other. It's like the symbol of infinity. If you take the symbol of infinity, break it into two, you have two circles. The two circles actually represent the individuality, which is very important to relationships. You have to have a personality, individuality, your own foundation, so that when you meet that right person and you attract that person into your life, more likely they'll be the same as you are. So it takes two individual people with very strong foundations within their own lives to create a life together, which means they're going to create an additional foundation, which is called the relationship. But when we talk about the circles, when you put the circles together, you have the symbol of infinity. Okay, so in order to have that long-term, forever relationship with that person, you have to have those in check. So when you have balance between the spiritual and your physical, you'll realize that first we go to the spirit and the idea of understanding the connection that we have. And then if this relationship goes further, and the idea of realizing true love is you, and you're going to share that with another. You're sharing yourself. You're sharing of you, okay? And what compatibility, people have been putting compatibility in the forefront too, when they don't realize compatibility is just another tool to actually get to know each other. In the process of getting to know each other, you start letting down the walls, you start letting down the resistance. So what that you can do is share more of yourself. Share of the love of who you are. That's true love, okay? But if you notice, the spiritual connection happens first. The physical connection happens second. Why? Because that's where you're actually expressing yourselves to each other in a physical manner. But the spiritual part is something that you do all the time. That's why you can see a lot of people that are together, okay? And you don't have to ask them if they're together. You don't have to ask them if they're in a relationship. When you walk in there and you sense that energy that's been created between the two of them, you got it. You understand it. You know it. And we've all done this. Oh, you can tell they're in love. You can tell that they're together. You can tell they're happy. And no one's ever said a word. It's just something we feel, okay? We don't realize that feeling we just felt and the idea of connecting with those two is realistically how you connect with your significant other. I mean, I had a conversation with a client last night who was talking about the idea, you know, we conjure up these people in these situations. So therefore, of course they're all screwed up relationships because we're all screwed up people. Now, you notice what she just said. She's true. You know, that's true. But also in the situation of creating that chaos, we can also do the opposite and create a fantastic, awesome relationship by also focusing on that too as well. But we have a lot of people out there winging it, okay? I hope I find the right person. Don't you? It's almost like when you hear the word hope, you don't want to use the word hope anymore because it even sounds like in there of saying, I hope. You can still hear the doubt. So what you want to do to make that statement even stronger in the idea of attaining and attracting your significant other, put faith in front of it. I have faith and hope that I will be in a relationship with my significant other and have everything I want. You see, that's a stronger statement instead of saying, I hope it happens. You can even the voice sounds weird. And you got to sit there and think about those things. What do you want? Make a declaration. Declare it. This is what I want. You will attract into your life who you are and how you feel about yourself. So keep that in mind too as well. So if you attract a person in your life, look at the situation for what it is. If you're attracting a person in your life and they just can't commit to a relationship, it doesn't always mean it's a negative attraction. It could actually be reflecting back something to you that you are in a right place, you're in a good place, you're in a good space, and you do acknowledge you're ready for a relationship. You want it. Okay, then you can see that relationship, you can see that person for who they are. Are they lying to you? Because most people sit there and jump on the negative part already. You know, the other guy's going, okay, are you lying to me? When actually he's lying to himself. When he looks at you, if he starts getting a notion he needs to walk away from the situation or even run away from the situation, more likely he's lying to himself. And you are a very positive person that's making him realize that to the point where he doesn't want to give those up yet. He doesn't want to commit because he's still focusing on the fear that when he commits, he's going to have the same thing happen to him in his last relationship. So he still needs some work. You still attracted the person into your life. And he could be definitely a soulmate. But at the same time, he's not on the same soul level as you are. Okay? So soulmates connect all the time. And it's all about spiritual growth and emotional growth. But if the person's not ready to go through that growth, you're going to have that kind of freaking chaos where a person's going to be playing games with you. So what you need to do is look at the situation and go, okay, you know something? I'm very strong in my convictions. I know exactly what I want. This person must not. So he cannot be the one, as in the one I'm going to be having a long-term relationship. As the idea what I'm looking for is forever. You know, I sat here and looked at situations last night, and I was actually going over certain things too as well. Then we can also change the whole format of the whole thing and make it a more positive situation, right? By working with our angels and guides. Okay, know what your angels are. Know that you have more likely three guardian angels. A lot of guidance there. You have guides that keep pointing at you. It's the idea of looking at listening to the positive guidance that comes through. And also, there are archangels with specific purposes. And when we look at that situation, we can also get help from them too as well. And usually it's just the idea of connecting to yourself in a more positive way to know what you want, because you keep running across these people they put you in a position of doubting yourself. Okay, now you can also look at the idea of Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael's name means he who is like God, or he who looks like God. Now, when you start to look at the situation, what that definition means, okay, it's the idea of who you are. So it's the idea of having the strength and the protection around you. So therefore, you can be yourself to realize that on this earthly plane, sometimes we have a tendency to doubt who we are and not utilize our full, complete power of what we can accomplish in our lives. To realize that you're made in the image of a God. In the process of being made in the image of God, you have all those abilities too as well. But a lot of us don't use those things, okay? And the ideal of focusing on oneself and saying, hey, I'm made in the image of God, so therefore everything in my life should be perfect. You're right. It's your body that tells you otherwise, depending where you're at then. So that's why you have to focus on the spiritual. When you focus on your spirit, the spirit will keep, you know, reaffirming to you. And when you tap into your spirit, you also have to realize your angels, archangels, ascended masters, your guides, Jesus, God, they're all spirit, okay? They're in the spiritual realm. So when you tap into your spirit, at that moment, you are in the spiritual realm, okay? It helps you understand the idea of the body. You know, the spirit is in the body, but the spirit is still a spirit and it's still in the spiritual realm. So when you connect with the spirit on the first basis, you're going to start tapping into your full potential. You're going to start realizing you have no limitations. You're going to realize you can accomplish anything you want. You can have anything you want. And you can also attract anything any kind of desire that's good for you. And that's what I always focus on is the ideal. You will attract every good thing that you desire. But if it's not good for you, that's when you start having trouble with those attractions. those people are not committing because they're not good for you. And you have to sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, since he's not good for me, do you have to sit there and help this person to get there? If he's not learning from you and simply looking at the reflection you're casting back at him, you're not on the same page, and you have to take that in consideration. I say move on. Okay? Work with your guardian angels and your archangels. Like, for example, Archangel Shamuel. Archangel Shamuel means he who seeks God or who sees God. That means to see the true person for who they really are. Oh, person. And also I want to sit and tell people in the queue, if you're going to sort of pop in and pop out, you're going to miss a lot of information. Because we're talking about relationships tonight. And it's one of those situations, relationships is the key to success. And the idea of realizing what is going on in your life and the idea how to correct it. Angels and guides are to actually point you back within yourself. So therefore, once you get inside yourself and see the situation for what it is, you're going to sit there and see that whole situation. You might even get an answer to your question without even asking the question. Then you'll start realizing that's what guidance is all about. Paying attention to what they're telling you as you go down this path that you've chosen and your life the way it is. If you don't like the way it is, I guarantee you there's signs and answers everywhere pointing in the right direction of what you need to do. Okay, so therefore, if you guys want to get a reading tonight, first and foremost, maybe you should start trusting yourselves why you even came in here in the first place. If you're going to keep running out of here and not listen to the situation, then you're going to miss out because it's like this. If you are in a situation of pursuing every freaking thing, there's a statement that says, be still. And the way it goes is, be still and know that I'm God. But it also shows that when you're being still, you're open to the guidance that is going to be coming to you to answer the question, send you in the right direction, correct anything that's going on in your life right now. Okay, and as I got to the situation, Archangel Shamuel, he who sees God, or he who seeks God, you are wanting to attract someone into your life. And like attracts like. So when you work with Archangel Shamuel, you can see the face, the essence of God in every person. Also yourself. Which also you start realizing that everything is on a spiritual connection, on an energy level, so therefore it's how it's all done. Okay? And if you're just looking to have sex, good happies. Okay, when I say good happies happen all the time. You see one happy good thing happen, it lasts for 10 minutes, you're off to the next one. Next thing you know, Jen's a whore. You know, and it's like you look at the situation, you don't realize that there's nothing wrong with a person who doesn't sleep with somebody. And even if they don't sleep with them for 6 months, they still love the relationship. So the ideal, we have a lot of pressure out there on people thinking that if you don't go in that situation, it might not be what we thought it was, not realizing maybe it's more what you think it is, and sex is only 2%. So people want to sit there and jump to the conclusion, no, that's not true. Yes, it is true. And everybody wants to sit there and go, hey, what's up, my friend? I'm trying to get this thing to go, and it's driving me crazy. So Archangel Shamuel is also the angel of loving relationships. That's what we were trying to say. You know, the idea of looking at the situation. Shamuel can also protect our personal worlds, and he helps us seek out the important parts of our lives, such as love. As love relationships, friends, careers, lost items, and our life purpose. Okay, Shamuel works with us to build strong foundations for our relationships and careers so that they're long-lasting, meaningful, and healthy. But also you look at the situation, what we're talking about here, too, as well, is you get this damn thing off my screen. I'm trying to get all these things going. Sometimes you just want to... So... I was actually trying to get this thing to go off. We keep getting these things popping up all the freaking time. Well, thank you. The chat room is shut down for the next 3 days. Archangel Shamuel is very kind, very loving, sweet. You'll know he's with you when you feel butterflies in your stomach and a pleasant tingling in your body. Also, I said your thought about this the other day. Shamuel is helping you with your love, you know, attracting your soulmate, twin flame, and to have a very strong foundation with your career. So therefore, it seems like your life purpose and your life partner are one and the same. When you have that, more likely you're going to attract that person to your life. You got your life purpose going on, boom, I got it going out. So then you put together. Then you connect with Archangel Gabriel, so you'll actually listen more intensely to the ideal of the messages that are coming through. If you want to connect with Archangel Shamuel, just say, Archangel Shamuel, I seem to have lost my focus and allowing to have a fantastic, awesome, romantic, spiritual soulmate relationship. I know that nothing is truly lost, since God is everywhere and therefore can see where everything is. Please guide me to find what I'm looking for, as in, either help me to find, guide me to what I'm looking for, or help me to have the faith that what I already know will come to pass and have the strength to do so. Thank you, Archangel Shamuel, that I can actually open my heart every time I start getting worried, that you can help me relax, let go of all that worry, because then I know for a fact that worry is based on something's about to happen. Something's going to happen right now. And for the person I really want in my life, I want that person, and I desire that person right now, and also the relationship and the life that I want to have with her. Okay, so when you look at the situation, what's going on? Nothing, except for the universe orchestrating this whole thing. So I ask you, Archangel Shamuel, to help me let go, forget it, and allow it to happen, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's going to happen. I just need to clear all that clutter out to make sure it does. So therefore, when that all happens, it will be great. It will be fantastic, awesome. And it's just about to be, and I need your help to help me maintain that faith, because I know something's right about on the horizon. I can't see it yet, but it's there. And it's like the anticipation of waiting for the sunrise. I'm waiting for the opportunity to arise, to have a fantastic, awesome life and romance with this woman, living a happy, fulfilling marriage life and family together now. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. So when you sit around the situation, it's like, summarize the list of Archangel Shamuel. It's basically to help you with career, life purpose, also lost items, because a lot of times we have a tendency to lose our way, or just the idea of losing something, that if we open up to guidance, to find just a simple watch, that little faith in that situation can actually expand to greater situations. Like if you thought you might have lost that love of your life, to realize by having faith, it might be just the doubt that's making you think that. So you can see how angels can help you out with everything and anything. Relationships, building and strengthening, soulmates, seeking out. Also the idea of keeping oneself, it's like when you have peace within yourself, you also contribute to the world's peace. So they all have a tendency to connect and that kind of thing. So therefore, if you guys want to sit there and look at the situation in life itself and that kind of stuff, you got some questions you want to ask, please call in at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you want to get a private reading, please do so. You can get a private reading with me for only $1 a minute. And all you got to do is call 740-500-8863. Or you can contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or email address is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Or you can come to my shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado, 946 and a half Manitou Avenue, right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So if you're planning a trip here or touring and you venture up to Manitou Springs, stop by and visit us and get a insightful personal reading face-to-face, which those things can actually be very intense. I'm not saying you can't get a reading on the phone because it's all about energy. Energy comes to the phone, electricity. There's same thing with cell phones. It's all about energy. So therefore, it doesn't matter what avenue you choose, you will definitely get a private, fantastic, insightful, probably one of the best readings you'll ever have. Well, I got to stress to everybody, if you're sitting in the queue right now and you're waiting to get on to get some answers answered or get some questions answered, remember, whatever crosses your path, whatever you're seeing at that moment could be the answer you're looking for, the answer you're seeking. So it's not always the ideal getting on the show, okay? And maybe you'll hear me answer a question for you, so when you do get on, you can ask a question about something totally different. You have opened up the door again to more insightful information, and all you got to do is listen. All you got to do is listen. So we were going over the archangels and that kind of stuff to give you an idea that what they're all about. I mean, shoot, we got the Archangel Gabriel. God is my strength. Strength can be good. Gabriel is like claimed to be female. Is famous for she told Elizabeth and Mary of their impeding births of their sons, John the Baptist and Jesus of Nazareth. Very important. So you can sit there and look at the situation. Let's look at the thing. Okay, great. And maybe you don't believe the Bible, but one thing, you look at the situation and say, oh, if this is an angel that you can sense around you, and this is the angel that actually gave some really personal information and happy information to two different ladies who were basically told, especially Elizabeth, I think, was told she couldn't have a child. But then she did. It also gives you hope. Look at the situation and go, okay, once you focus on something, don't be surprised if it doesn't happen. It'll be great. Fantastic. Awesome. I've had a lot of people say that. Can't have a child. Next time they get one. So maybe you should look at the situation and go, what's going on there, okay? First role of Gabriel guides hopeful parents toward child conceptions and through the process of adopting a child. Gabriel gives strength and courage to those parents and helps moms to be stay centered in blissful faith to create the best atmosphere for their babies. Now, if you look at the situation, Gabriel, we've all heard stories about people putting their kids in a refrigerator, putting them in a dumpster, because they don't want to deal with the responsibility. If you really think about the situation of a person, she's feeding into a worldly concept where she feels like there's no hope. Okay, when you go within yourself to ask for guidance from your angels and archangels and guides, we could go on the list. Guide, okay, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Okay, when you start focusing on the spiritual realm, more likely you're always going to get the answers, the guidance, and what direction you should go into, where there's always a positive outcome. If you look at the situation, those kind of situations when they were not listening, and they were looking at the world going, you know, I can't do this. They're not actually having any kind of faith in themselves. No faith in themselves, and they have a tendency to seek worldly solutions, which have no positive outcomes. Think about that. Focusing on angels, there's always a positive outcome, positive resolution to the situation. So what are we going to do here? What do you want to do? I say that we sit and listen to the guidance that's always been there our whole lives. Knowing that whole situation, what do we need to do? I was sitting there going over the whole thing myself, going, there must be some kind of connection I can make to another angel that might help me in the situation I'm going through. A ascended master. But I have a tendency to go to the guardian angels first and foremost. Because it's just one of those things where it's like Archangel Gabriel says, allow me to escort you through life's travels. Okay. Yeah, life's travelers, and to make your journey smooth and successful. It's my greatest pleasure, peacefulness, to replace any energy of pain. So it's the ideal seeking, not the ideal seeking the significant other, but with working with angels, you can also go within yourself to seek more of a connection with yourself so you can really realize that all the things that you're hanging on to, it's a word hanging on to them. Let go. Relinquish those things and say, I don't need them anymore. And the arch and the angels can help you understand that once you tap into love, and you reconnect with yourself in the true loving sense, you have no other choice but to let go of them because you've taken your attention and your direction and your emotions onto something more positive. In the process of doing that, you can't do anything else but do that. And they've also noticed that certain people who really go into certain meditations, they can't bring those negative things with them. They have to let go of them, or it takes them out of that meditational state. And most people get kind of frustrated and say, no, I want to be in that meditational state. I want to find a solution. I want to let go of those things. And they'll go back into the whole thing, not realizing as they're going into meditation, they are letting go of them. They just got to quit grasping at them again. Look, Archangel Ariel is a lioness, but she helps you focus on the strength. She's also an angel that's connected to nature, protecting nature. And when you sit and look at the situation, it helps you be more of a person who also would be, by having this angel with you, to be protecting the environment too as well. We have Archangel Azrael. Azrael's name means whom God helps. His role is primarily to help people cross over to heaven at the time of physical death. Ariel comforts people prior to their physical passing, which most people have a tendency, like I said before, if you look at people who are going through all the pain and stuff, they're feeding into a worldly concept because it's actually been said that pain doesn't exist. It's all in your mind. It's something we conjure up, something we want to deal with. And it's the idea what the body's come up with to actually give us a signal that there's something not right with our bodies. But when you start to look at the situation, it's actually been proven that pain has a tendency to come in soon and early before realistically it needs to. So it has a tendency to tell us that there's something wrong way before there really realistically is. So the body's always protecting itself. But if you know, when you work with certain archangels, they will help you connect more to your spirit. The more you connect with your spirit, the more you realize you have no limitations, and you notice all the abilities that you have. And saying, how do you feel? You know, the soul has been described as looking more like a 35-year-old, always. So therefore, you have a visual to look for and use that you can use to say, oh, no, I feel like I'm 35 all the time. You know, it's a very good age to have because, you know, your maturity, you're pretty much on your own. You know, you do know who you are, and you can really grasp a hold of that thing, okay? So when you sit and focus on the situation, go, hey, people keep saying I look like I'm 35. Go with it. Okay, go with the spirit, or even do like most people do. Go with the spirit, and they say the spirit is immortal. So they start having that same concept, and they keep focusing on that concept, and they let their mind reflect that. In the process of doing that, they go within themselves and connect with their spirit more and more to experience that immortality. And what's so funny about the whole thing is when you are focusing on that much on spirit. Spirit always comes first anyway. The body will also reflect what you feel, what you think, what you know. So therefore, you won't just be thinking you're 35. You'll be living it. Not just the idea on the physical, on the physical outside. I say living it, which means mostly ailments and that kind of stuff will go away. We've also seen this with people who are truly in love, who are focused on that spiritual connection. Certain ailments just don't seem to bother them anymore. They no longer exist. The love will empower and love will heal. Okay, we have a caller in the queue. Let's go to the caller, and that's area code 770. Hey, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I just tuned in. It was what little bit I caught. It was interesting.
Well, good. We had some people in the queue. Yeah, one person was complaining saying that you're talking like you live on the East Coast. Okay, thanks. Now, there was a lady on the queue for a minute, and then she popped out. I'm like, okay, guys, you need to listen because you're actually hearing it. And that's what people think. I had one lady tell me this. She goes, oh, so we have to listen to you? No, you're coming here to get answers. So whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever you're hearing on the radio show at this moment, reflects your life in some way, or you wouldn't be here. You're being drawn to the answers. You're being drawn to something that could probably majorly change your life. And we need to talk to a lot of people, and they always talk about relationships. You know, most of our questions, most of the people come on here, and most of the questions you hear is about romance, relationships, people, situations. So they're all looking for the answers. They don't really realize it. When you sit there and cross someone's path, the reflection will help you more in what they're actually saying. And if you use the combination of both of them, you might have a heck of a great experience on that whole thing. Or you might go, Eureka, I think I've realized what the problem is and be able to change it. Because that's like, what was the question was asked? How fast can I change my life? I said you can change it in 5 minutes if you really allow yourself to basically resonate with that kind of faith.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah, because energy is
energy. What do the angels want to say about me today?
They say, hey, how you doing? it's like asking the question. It's like they ask the question. They're not doing it in a negative way. They're asking you the question, when was the last time you actually listened to your guides and your angels and the information and just followed it? Well, even very spontaneously, just went along with the whole thing. Because that was what I was saying before. Things can change between as fast as you want them to change. It's just the idea of letting down the resistance and being very spontaneous and just going with the flow and the whole thing. And then you get your life back in the flow. Because realistically, when you look at the situation, like when I do card readings and stuff, and actually when the guidance itself, the thing I get the most, and I actually listened to Bruce Lee one time, even he had the situation on the concept of water. How come we can't not allow ourselves to flow with life when actually our bodies are almost 90%, 96% water?
Right.
We have a flow. Yeah, we have a flow within ourselves. Why can't we not flow with life? Because we're always having all these expectations of how it should be instead of being still, going with the flow, or being the canoe and going down the river of life. Realizing that once you let go and relinquish it all, everything still happens. It just happens at a smoother rate. Everything happens quicker, too. And it's like our concept of time. If we didn't have a concept of time, we would just look at things happening. Okay, it happened. We would never say it didn't happen quick enough. I think people need to look at themselves going, what do you mean it didn't happen quick enough? And you're actually still not listening to your guides and angels who are guiding you that everything's going to happen in its own time, and you're sitting there saying it didn't happen fast enough, which is your perception, which is based on a worldly concept, which has never worked for you. We had this yesterday when I saw this lady. She's like, this one guy's not really my type. I said, yeah, but the types you've been going out with, as you call your type, has never worked. So maybe the angels and the universe has given you something that someone you would never go out with, but this is who you truly are really seeking. Because if you wasn't seeking this type of person, or this particular person as a soulmate, then why is he there? Why is he sitting there staring at you? Why have you guys connected on some kind of level? If it wasn't supposed to happen, it wouldn't have. But the point is, it is. So what are you going to do about that? And then maybe they kind of... So I told a lady one day, too, I said, I was working in my shop, and I looked her right in the face and said, so what is true love? What is true real love? And she's like, I said, you're thinking too hard. She goes, really? Yes. True love is you. And it's kind of crazy when you look at the situation. It even says in the Bible, you are made in the image of God. Now, most people start focusing on the, I don't have that kind of power. No, what they're saying is, you're made in the image, you are created in the image of God. So therefore, you are from a loving being, so you are a loving being. Everything is done in love empowers you. So you do have these powers. You're just looking at a different way than most people look at who've done the history, you know. They're thinking God, as in the Roman gods, the Greek gods, who actually caused a lot of chaos. So they're thinking because of where they came from, if they were like gods, they would cause the same kind of chaos because of what they're doing. They don't realize even those gods had choices. They could either call, because I always believe this, God is God. That's no question, okay? But the Roman gods, the Greek gods, the northern gods, they could have all existed too. But if you look at the Bible, it says no gods. Yeah, it says no gods before me. But it doesn't really it doesn't defy that they do exist. Because why does it not say that? Because you are a god. It even says even the part where people, and realistically back in the day, you know, verse 16 going da da da. Back in the day, when the Bible was first written, those didn't exist. They didn't have that references in those Bibles, and it came later on to make it easier for you to actually get to the Bible. So I don't remember those. It's the idea of the information more important to me. To look at the situation that Jesus said that ye are gods, and ye will do greater works than I. Okay, what Jesus came here to do, sure, wipe out the sins, but in the process of wiping out the sins, he was also looking at the situation. You guys also seen your full potential for who you are. So therefore, instead of causing, you are a creator, and you are a co-creator with God. Okay, God created you, so you can create your life. So you see, that's what we call co-creating. You're still working together. You never take God out of the equation, and it's kind of crazy how in metaphysics people do that. Okay, I'm in a really good place in my life. Like, I don't need God anymore. Well, who said you? I mean, it's not the idea of needing God anymore. It's the idea of realizing you're one and the same. So you can't take God. You can't.
Yes. That you are God,
yes. Yeah, so you can't take God out of the equation.
Before that we are gods, yes.
Yeah, so you can't take it out of the equation. It's always going to be a part of you. I told a lady the other day, to make it easier for you, think about this. Look at the sun. The sun is a bright source, an energy source. I mean, it's bright, it's powerful, and it gives life, okay? It gives life in the whole thing. But when you look at the sun has many rays. So what you do is you look at the rays. The rays are you. Okay, if you look at those rays, no matter how far they get from the sun, they're still a part of the source, and they always will be. Okay?
Yeah.
So say like you're so if you're a ray of sun and you're down here and you don't feel so bright, it's the ideal of, we had this meditation we were doing the other day where we're saying, going, all you got to do is focus. You know, sometimes I tell people, take a deep breath, take 3 or 4 deep breaths. And almost like feel the presence of God around you. I mean, sit there and close your eyes, bow your head, and then focus on the space behind your heart. And as you're focusing on the space, just keep telling yourself over and over again, I am love. I am love. And just every time you say, I am love, allow yourself to go within yourself. Try to go as deep as you can within yourself. Because what you're doing at that moment is you're basically reconnecting to you. As you reconnect to you, you're going to realize.
I am love. I am. Yes.
So there's actually a good book out there called The Three Magic Words. The three magic words are, I am God. Now, when you say the statement, think about this. I am, that refers to God. So what does it mean when it says, I am God? It means
I am God.
You are one.
I am God. When you say I am, you speak into the God self in you, right?
Exactly. And then you basically what you do is you reawaken the whole thing to realize you've always been connected. So you just reconnected to yourself. You just reconnected to true. You just reconnected to your soul, your spirit, true love. And then you can sit there and look at people in your lives and go, do they reflect you, or have you attracted people who want to be you?
Yes.
Because realistically, you don't have to really do anything to teach another person to be themselves. All you have to do is be yourself.
Just be myself.
They'll be the reflection. They'll be the reflection. And if they can't, then they're not on the same level.
Yes. That's wonderful.
He wasn't born to be a therapist. We already have those. Especially when it comes to relationships. What you want to do is you're looking for someone to be on the same page as you are. And everybody goes, this is the thing I get really irritated with a lot, and I shouldn't, but it makes you think. People have, in this day of age, people are so busy talking themselves out of why they shouldn't be with somebody when they should be focusing on the situation and the connection that just happened, which will give you all the answers you want. I've had so many girls just sitting there going, does this guy love me? I don't know, does he? You live this life. I'm just a person on the outside giving you insights to the situation. And the insight at that moment that told me to ask her, what does she think? Is this a confirmation, or does she not know it all? Because if she doesn't know it all, she's either not listening to herself and the connection that I do have, or they don't have the connection she thinks, and she's trying to make more out of it. And she's trying to get me to do that for her. Well, good luck on that one. But I'm just saying, when you look at this situation of love, and because people call me up and say, I have a connection with this guy. I say, okay, listen to the connection to get the answers you're looking for. Because connections cannot be established if something is not happening on both sides. Okay, so we have two people. But the big thing is people are doing this, and it drives me crazy because don't look at their actions. You have this connection with this person, and it's telling you, this person loves me. Well, instead of trying to figure the dude out, just take the feeling that you have for that person as a fact and stop trying to figure him out. Because what you need to do is you need to look at the reflection as much as he needs to look at you and for like reflection. Because when you sit and learn, when you start to get to know each other, realistically what you're doing is you're learning more about yourself.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes.
So when so when you sit there and focus on the guy and go, you know, why is he being an ass? I don't know. what does it reflect back at you? And I said, what do you mean by being an ass? What do you mean by being an ass? She goes, well, he's not committing to the relationship. I said, listen. I told her. I said, listen to what you're saying. It's almost like you're demanding him to give you the commitment you want.
Yes.
So maybe you're not committing to him as much as you think you are, because you're waiting for something. You're waiting for him to commit, so you're holding back. Maybe if you go into these things unconditionally, have faith in what you've created and attracted, then you can give unconditionally, and guess what? Maybe he'll do the same.
Yeah, it'll come back to you, yes.
Yes, and if it doesn't, then you can
then it'll come back from someone else.
Right, he's not the one. So if you sit and think about it,
that's why he's not the one, exactly. That makes
so
much sense.
And if people listen to themselves, as in the guidance, and do meditations like that so they can connect with themselves, so they can actually hear the guidance and the information coming through so clearly, they'll start realizing that all these things that are being projected to them makes it easier for them to make decisions and see things for what they are. This guy's a jerk. I'm out of here. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe like this. It will help her be on a more spiritual level to realize that he's not a jerk. He's just being who he is. And that's
he's just being who he is.
And she looks at him and goes, yeah, go ahead,
he's
sorry.
He's a jerk because he's not for her. That's why. That's why he's a jerk. Because he doesn't resonate with you.
Well, she has to look at what she's saying, too, because he's reflecting her. He reflects her and how she feels about herself. So when she looks at him and calls him a jerk, I think she's actually calling herself a jerk because she didn't see it for what it was when she first met the guy. I realized, this is not the one. Oh, do I feel like an idiot? Anyway, don't feel like feel like an idiot for a minute. Get over it and realize you just found a place to start so you can actually say, I got to move on. And actually, it's like all of our terminology can be working against us and all kinds of stuff. If we don't sit and look at it and say for what it is. I mean, think about this seriously. You look at the situation, okay, and she didn't see it for what it was. She spent too much time there because she didn't listen to herself. But she had to learn something, too, as much as he did. I think she learned quicker because she saw it for what it was. They both see it. Okay, that's the thing about most people don't understand. The connection bond happened. Okay, they both see it. The one, at that moment, with all that crazy chaos going on, one has embraced it, but one keeps questioning it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So what she needed to do is a learning lesson for her to state what she wants. Because she had a fear, because she's sitting there looking at this guy trying to figure him out, when she should just walk up to him and go, what the hell is your problem? But she won't do that because she's scared he'll run away. She doesn't realize if he runs away, that's an answer too. That means
that's
he's
an answer
not
too. That's your answer. If he runs away, he didn't mean you any good in the beginning.
No, he cannot have a relationship at this moment because he's not having one with himself. And if you think about it, she's looking at to figure him out. So in the process of being pulled into this chaos and not listening to herself, she has stopped having a relationship with herself because she's not listening.
So you said if he runs away, it's different from what I was thinking, that he didn't mean you any good in the beginning. You said that he's not having a relationship with himself.
Yeah, so he can't commit to the relationship. So when she sits there and speaks and tells the guy what she wants, and uh-huh. this is how I feel, and he runs away, it shows his strength or the lack of. He's not strong
yes.
enough to be in a relationship. But it also reflects
yes.
back at her by taking that notion to say those things that she does. And since she does have the strength for a relationship and he doesn't, it's not a match. I wish we could have
yeah,
a bell
it's not
ball.
A match.
Ding, ding,
it's
wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a game show. And this is door number three, which you didn't want. So keep moving forward to door number one, which I guarantee you want that one. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And, but I think what confuses people the most is they feel the connection with that person. They feel the love. Of course you do. It's two souls that are pure love. Of course they connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soul connection. Forget the term soulmate, twin flame. It's causing more confusion than anything else because people are looking for it. And also, I read in Edgar Casey's books, he says, it doesn't matter what kind of soul connection you're looking for, stop looking for it because it's a connection. It will happen. It will probably even happen even smoother if you let go.
If you just let go and just go with the flow.
Yeah, have faith that you do have a soul. So therefore, you will attract another soul.
You will attract another soul. I like that. And what was the name of that book, Eddie Casey?
Oh, that's a good question, sweetie. I think it was... it's at my shop. I don't
okay.
have it right here. But it's about soulmates. I think it's called Soulmates.
It's about what you say?
I think it's Soulmates. Good question.
Are you saying four bits?
Say it one more time.
What did you say? You saying four bits or four? What are you saying?
No, it sounded wrong. I was kind of fumbling through the words, trying to say the name of the book was Soulmates.
Oh, Soulmates.
Soulmates.
Okay.
Twin Flames and Other Connections, I think. But it's definitely
okay.
Edgar Casey. Yeah, it's an Edgar Casey book.
Okay.
I found it on Amazon.
On the internet.
It's the only one I saw that had Soulmate on it. So. It shouldn't be hard to find. I was on the Amazon.com and found it. Only paid like $4 for it completely.
Okay. So stop looking for your soulmate and just go with the flow, and you will find that other soul. I like that.
Well, I would tell people, if you want to make it really simple for yourself, realize that if you're not living your life, how can you expect it to actually attract someone to share it with you? Because your life and who you are is a magnet. And it will attract every good thing to you. So therefore, in the process of that one, she's trying to make something out of the whole situation, not realizing you're not listening. It said every good thing you desire will be drawn to you. If it's not being drawn to you, as in he's come part of the way, but he still hasn't completed the commitment. So therefore, what can you look at the situation and go, this guy's a nut? Because he can't allow him to see this, or we consider him to be nice about it and say, okay, he's still got some growing to do. He doesn't realize that two souls come together in a soulmate connection for spiritual and emotional growth. So he's not opening up for that growth to happen. Or maybe he does see it and it freaks him out, because in the process of growth, we know for a fact that when you grow, you have to let go. And if you don't let go, it hinders the growth. See, every time you sit and have a realization, that's a growth. Every time you open up, that's a growth. Every time you let go of a situation or past, that's also growth emotionally and spiritual. So this person's hanging on to a past experience that he's not really let go of yet, which is keeping him from committing. He doesn't realize it's also keeping him from what he wants, what he needs, what he desires.
Yes.
So, sweetie, you called in. Was there a question that you wanted to ask?
I've gained so much information. Just whatever you see. Whatever energy or spirit, whatever energy you pick up around me.
The thing I get the most is you have a very strong aura of green, yellow, and orange.
Oh.
Okay. The green is, we don't realize this too, but green is a color of healing. It's also the color for, the reason it's green for money is because the energy itself is green. Because if you look at love, relationships, careers, and that kind of stuff, when they're not working, it's something about ourselves that we have, what we call that? Something about us we don't love, or we don't have faith in. If you don't have faith in yourself, then you don't really love yourself unconditionally. Okay, so when you correct those with the energy of green, the emerald green, which is also a Raphael. And I actually have a book here with that Raphael in it. So I can actually get this one because I actually have some cards. I just got some new tarot cards. And instead of using water, air, fire, and earth, what they do is they use archangels. They pick four archangels. And the archangels are Ariel, Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael. And Raphael is the one that talks about not just romance and relationships and love. It also talks about the idea that when you focus on your life purpose, you're also focusing on what you love and what you're passionate about. When you put those two together, you can do nothing else but attract positive things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when two people come together in a true romantic, truly loving relationship, now we have two energies that come together that can actually manifest things quicker than a single person could. So you can manifest your dreams in reality. You can manifest your dreams into reality. So it's not just a Disney movie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. It's our stupid society. I hate to say that, but I've heard some songs, we've been poisoned by fairy tales. No, we haven't, because all those fairy tales have a source, and like any source, it's like our government. Our government was a heck of a good idea. That's kind of gotten out of sorts. Doesn't mean you can't correct it, but we have a lot of dumbasses out there going, well, it's the only one we have. Yeah, maybe you're right, but it's like a house. It's the only house I have. But I guarantee you, I can add extensions to it. I can add rooms to it. When it needs repair, I can fix it. I don't sit there and go, well, it's the only house we have. So when it falls down, I guess, what are we going to do? Yeah, what are we going to do? Not realizing there's probably 500,000 houses out there. But
yeah.
So it's kind of it's crazy how people are focused. That's what I was saying earlier, too, when they were talking about relationships, okay, and they're looking at the situation of jobs and everything else. It's amazing, the one thing I hear the most, well, you know, we're not perfect. Yeah, we are. In spirit, you're perfect, whole and complete.
You're perfect, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the body tells you otherwise. But if you get really connected to your spirit, what happens is, in the idea of all this great ability that you have in spirit will also be reflected through your body. So therefore, you'll find that you will get balance between physical and spiritual. Mm-hmm. So when you meet somebody, because I was actually telling people the other day, I said, think about this. Statistics say in bad relationships, sex is almost 85%. So what are they trying to compensate for? What is not working in those relationships where they have to compensate with sex? But if you look at people that are in great relationships, have these fantastic, awesome, really true loving relationships, sex is only 25%.
Yes, I believe that.
So when you look, I'm not saying there's not couples out there who want to express it a lot.
Yes,
okay,
I know.
I
understand what you're saying.
Because what they're saying
understand.
is in the 25%, they're focusing on quality, not quantity.
Yes,
and the bad relationship. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
then the bad relationships, everybody's going, they get into fights, they get in arguments, they get into situations, they don't want to deal with them. Well, they're usually having sex to take their minds off everything and going, I don't want to
mm-hmm.
deal with this. So therefore, so they feel, because when they're having sex, they feel happy. They don't realize it's that's how sex has come into the idea of all the list of addictions. Because instead
mm-hmm.
of focusing on an issue or a problem, we were talking about this the other day. You can take this any way you want to. I told people, since you're whole, complete, and perfect, the void that you've been thinking that you have within you, the things that you think you're missing, the empty spaces, which I call
mm-hmm.
voids, they're not. They're things that we're avoiding, that we don't want to deal with. The more we don't deal with them, the more they keep seeming like an empty space, because they're
mm-hmm.
making us feel inside, because we're not confronting those things, not realizing that if we confront those issues, that it caused those voids, and we'll realize it's something we're avoiding. And once we stop avoiding it and actually deal with it, it's another situation of growth, emotionally and spiritually, which
mm-hmm.
brings you more, which brings you back to being perfect, whole, and complete. It's these worldly things that happen in our lives that everybody keeps saying that are important, that we're trying to incorporate into our lives to make them important. And when they don't happen, we think we're failures. If we don't have that 9-to-5 job, like everybody keeps telling us, get a real job.
Yes.
If we get that kind of job, we think we are a failure. We don't realize that what's going on there is your guidance is leading you into a different direction to tell you maybe the reason working for other people is not working is because you're supposed to create something on your own as your own business.
Exactly.
Your own self-employment kind of thing. And if you really look at the situation, it's kind of freaking surprising that more people don't go into self-employment and creating companies and that kind of stuff, because in the Bible, all the disciples and Jesus were self-employed.
Yes.
And when, if you look in the Bible, too, I love this one here. The disciples are asking Jesus, you know, who gets to go to heaven? And Jesus go, well, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven as it is to take a camel through the eye of a needle. Now, if anybody doesn't know what the eye of the needle means, the eye of the needle means it's the entrance into the city back in the day. Most cities back then had walls. And so in order to get into the city, the entrances were only made for humans. So a camel had to get down on its knees and crawl through the eye of the needle. Now, if you look at the situation, how the disciples are freaking out, it's like they're crying, they're freaking little wimps, okay? And they're sitting there going, well, if that's the case, Jesus, then who gets to go to heaven? They didn't even hear the story. The story says it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven and just get a camel through the eye of the needle. The camel still gets through there. It's difficult, but he does it. And it's one of those things, one of those stories where people, when you focus on the situation, Jesus says, basically in that statement, there's always an easier way. And sometimes you go through all this stuff of thinking you got to do this, this, and this, this to get in heaven, when all you got to do is one thing. Realistically, believe in yourself. When you believe in yourself, you'll believe in Jesus. You'll believe in God, because you'll start getting more connected to the source, okay? But the thing I liked the most about that story was they looked at Jesus and said, okay, if that's the case, who gets to go to heaven? Does anybody ever ask the question, what do they mean? Why are they asking the question? If that's the case, Jesus, then who gets to go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all rich. They were all wealthy. They were all self-employed. That's why they asked the question. And who gets to go to heaven? Because they were self-employed. They were rich. So they're thinking, okay, since we're rich and we have money, we can't go to heaven. No, Jesus didn't say that. It's the idea of going back to humble, and it's going back to the idea of what he's saying, okay? If you let go all your riches in faith of where the source came from, and you're actually grateful to God for what you had, but you're going to give it up, you will have it. He even says in the Bible, you'll have it back in tenfold, which means you're being humble in the process of being grateful to where the source, to the source of where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, thank you, God, for all the things I had, because if it wouldn't be for you and my faith and everything goes along with it, I wouldn't have this stuff.
You
that's what it was. And that's what he was trying to say. You can go to heaven and still be rich, but you can't take it with you.
No.
But I guarantee if you're rich in spirit and you have fantastic, awesome faith, you will always have not just what you need, but you will always exceed in a divine way. If you notice, a lot of people are very wealthy. The ones that have a tendency to be happy and continue and be even more wealthier, but they're still happy and content. They also give a lot to charity. So what they're doing is they have a lot of money for all the needs, all their wants, needs, and desires, and they have a divine surplus to bless others.
Right. Well, what does the orange and the yellow color mean?
Let's see.
You gave me the color green. You said money and healing.
Yeah, and yellow means...
So what would the orange and yellow mean?
Well, see, yellow is power and success.
Power and success.
And the orange, orange is your desires. So if you look at the situation, the process of the green, of going through major healings, major releasements, using the energy to heal oneself of some emotional things that you're still hanging on to, the other ones kick in to help you understand that the combination is healing empowers you, gives you strength, which taps into the yellow. It also, with that power and strength, it also gives you the motivation to really determine what your desires are and allow them to happen. Because we've heard a lot of people say this, you know, I don't deserve that. Or someone will give them something. I've heard this a lot. I had this one girlfriend I want to take out to lunch. I don't feel right about doing this. I said, I don't feel right about you doing this either. So why don't you just accept somebody's giving you something. I always do this too, especially when there's a girl I really want to be in a relationship with. I don't use the word friend. I want to take you to lunch. And you should allow somebody who really cares about you to take you to lunch. You know, we don't want to give them excuses to go into the friend zone. So we sit there and go, this is what we would see would happen. So once we leave those out of there, we don't give them anything to work with as any kind of excuses. at the same time, we're still expressing ourselves, and we're trying to, you know, we're just giving. And it's like, and sometimes you can see it too, where people are giving, and they're very open to the situation, but they don't know how to go any further because of what they've been taught. So we have to stay firm to who we are, so they'll see it. But also, by staying firm with ourselves, it also gives us the strength to continue to forward. In the process of going forward, you also see other things you desire, and you also acquire the energy or the love to realize you deserve it. That every time you put any kind of intentions out into the world, something comes back. The Christian, we have some people that are very in the Bible, and it says, the symbol of the Bible is very, you know, it's important to give, and I just want to give, 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 give. I don't need anything. I said, okay, you're right. You don't need anything. But the point is, when you give, you should also stop being so egotistic and self-centered to give somebody else a chance to give too. Because in the process of giving, there has to be receiving. And actually, I was talking, we talk about balance in life, okay? What does balance mean? Well, first and foremost, it means balance between physical and spiritual. Spirit comes first, physical comes second, but they all work together as a balance. We also got doing and being, okay? Doing and being, you have to have balance between that, because when guidance is given to you, you have to be, in a sense of, open to hear the guidance, okay? The guidance comes through. This is the part where you do something. This is a doing. But then you get to a point where people go, well, I don't know what to do. I said, why? Because there's no guidance coming through? And she goes, yeah, why? Why is there no guidance coming through? Well, who cares? Guidance is not coming through. So basically what you need to do is be. Just be. Just go with the flow. And then when guidance comes through, you'll be open to what's the next thing to do. But if you're going to keep sitting here worry, you're hoping for some kind of guidance to come through, the worry will create a block, because worry, the definition of worry means lack of faith in oneself.
Yes.
Okay, if you have a lack of faith in yourself, then you're not going to listen to what guidance is coming through you, because you're not having faith in yourself and the connection you have with Spirit. So at those moments, you're more focused on the world. You know, like, hey, if we get in this car, we can have a car accident. Really? How about this? How about if we get in the car and ask angels to surround it? We'll be good.
Yeah.
I do this when I fly. I'll get on an airplane, and I'll go, okay, Archangel Raphael. And Archangel Raphael, please go under each one of these wings and get us from point A to point B. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I go. And I've actually been on a couple of flights where people thought I was psychic. And I had, what was it, 6 to 8 people turn around going,
What did you
say?
No,
I just had these people look at me. No, I was on a plane once, and I had 8 people look back at me, and they found out I was psychic. They found out I was psychic. And the first question in their mouth was, are we going to make it? I said, do you think I'd be on this plane if we wasn't going to make it? And
yeah.
I said, I've also got the angels out of the wings, so we're good. We're good. And then we get into this flight, we had a lot of turbulence. I slept through the whole thing. You could hear people going, how can you sleep through this? I said, we have angels out of the wings. We're good.
We're good.
So
okay.
Sit back and relax.
I can relax. Yes.
And sure enough, we get to the turbulence, we get where we're going, we're good. But it's kind of funny how, you know, you give them the answers and stuff, and people still are not believing you. But it's not believing you. It's just them having lack of faith in themselves.
Yeah.
And once they get that faith, then, you know, you start to realize people cross your paths to confirm what you already know. You just have to listen.
Yeah.
You know, like we can look at the idea of being rich. Do people kind of freak out? Rich and spiritual together? Yes. How do you think we attract things in our lives? Love.
Yes. I can't believe it, huh?
Yeah, so I was sitting talking to one day. I said, did you ever read the Bible about King Solomon? He's been classified as one of the richest men in history. If you notice, he constantly kept on giving and giving. Very wise man, too. In the process of being a very wise person, he's looking at people going, see, the guy had a very strong faith in God, honors God, and he's basically compensated for it. So, see, the thing is, it doesn't matter if you give to God or people or whatever. When you're constantly giving, that's putting intention out there, and it will come back. So you better be open to receive it, or you could be in a whole lot of trouble. You know, you'll be offending a lot of people. Because I tell people all the time, if someone comes up to you and hands you $10,000, take it.
Take it.
Say thank you. Yeah, because it wouldn't have happened, because if you didn't send the intention out there, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Everything happens. People go, how about getting hit by a car? More likely you had a fear you're going to be in an accident. And it manifested.
Oh.
I was looking at my friend today. I did a reading for my friend. I did a friend reading for my friend yesterday, because she's been in several accidents. She's been in kind of accidental things, and then the other day she was in a car accident. And I started looking at her, going, you know, what is causing these accidents to happen? She said, I don't know what's causing these accidents. Something about you don't have a lot of faith in yourself right now, and I think you actually made a choice to go down a path that you think is good for you to avoid what you know is good for you. And she didn't say a word. She just looked at me like,
mm-hmm.
So I think I just found the problem.
Wow.
Because it's like, look at people in life who are living their true destiny, right?
Yes.
They never have accidents. They never, you know, we don't say that they don't have problems, but they
right.
seem to go, they seem to have a different attitude.
They're
just smoothly
go through. Yes.
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 There's a speed bump, but hey, you know something, a speed bump can be, you know, orchestrated to go around it where it's not such a big thing.
Yes.
It's still there,
mm-hmm.
but you can go smoothly over it. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you forget about the speed bumps and you don't take care of the problem, I've done that before too in a truck. My truck actually skipped about 3 feet. I hit that freaking speed bump, boom, boom, boom. And the truck had such good spring that it was almost like hopping down the freaking thing like a freaking bunny, boom, 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 boom. And I was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and they forgot to paint these speed bumps yellow. So I forgot
yeah.
about them, and I was late for work and hit those suckers, and I'm going, oh my, it was like being on a Bronco. And I was like, see, but it's one of those things that once I got back to realizing, oh, that's right, and I saw them, and then I just kind of like, okay, we'll go to the side, get over this one, smoothly, and the whole thing. So it's like going from rough to smooth just by changing your perception. Listen. That's like with you. It's the ideal that you can predict a lot of things for you. But the one thing I got the one thing that came across the quickest was the ideal, if you listen to yourself and you go through it spontaneously, just go with the flow, all
uh-huh.
the things you've been focused on lately, they just keep saying that they're more of a certainty, the more faith that you have in them. And if it starts getting to the point where you're not too sure about them, there's nothing wrong with. I always tell people when you write desire list, if you go on your desire list and you start removing things from your desire list, you're on the right path because you're starting to realize what's good for you and what's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start changing things, you're still on the right path because you're starting to realize what do you want and desire. But see, the list was almost like when you wrote the list, it was a focus point to help
mm-hmm.
you realize by seeing what you see, do I really want that? Do I really need that? Is it something I was focusing more on the worldly thing? Then you start really focusing on what you want and you desire by having this list, and then you start also realizing what you're focusing more on in a worldly sense. So you can change your perception. So desire lists are really good when you look at them going, what do I really want? And if you have a stump on that whole thing, just keep working with it because it's going to, you know, you've made the first step to even write the list. And standing
uh-huh.
in front of that pad and pencil, something's going to come to the surface. And you're going to do it, because I've had a couple things that come to the surface, too, where I was like, I wonder if I should really do that. But see, that's a fear.
Yes.
Why are you scared? Why
you
are you
know,
scared?
Yes.
Yeah, why are you scared of getting what you want? So you ask yourself, why am I scared of getting what I want? And then you realize at that moment, I really do want that. I really
yes.
want that to happen. I really, would really love to have this relationship with this person. And you start seeing all these things going, it just makes you more determined. I guess you could say a pad and pencil can give you a backbone.
Yeah, well, I wrote a letter to all the desires that I want, and I a few months ago, and I would take it
mm-hmm.
out. In the beginning, I would take it out and read it every day, but I put it away, and I haven't read it in a while now. But I'm glad
you
mentioned
that.
You remind me to
yeah.
take it out and read it.
Yeah, and they actually say that you want to make that work.
What?
Read it every day. If you want
read
to
it every day.
Really
okay.
Read it every day. Sometimes they say. What they're saying is read it. Don't get obsessive. Just read it. And it says read it every day, 3 times a day. You know,
3 times a day, okay.
If you're having lunch or something like that, look at the whole thing. But the reason you keep a pen or a pencil handy, in case you look at the list going, I just realized there's something else I want. Just add it. Or you can just
okay.
put it in there. Because some of them actually say put them in the order you want. But they start focusing on the other day. I did this the other day where I started focusing on a simple one where I was like, okay, today I want to do 20 readings in the shop. I want to do 20 readings on the website I work for. I have another
right,
one I want
uh-huh.
to work on. I want to do 6 readings, and I want this
right,
to happen.
Uh-huh.
This is my desire for today. I want to
right,
do 20
uh-huh.
readings. Or I could also write the thing down where I go, this is the readings I want. What is the objective today I'm looking for? you know, have a smaller desire list on what you're going to do today, you know. So I sit here and said, I want my rent for my apartment before the end of this day.
Yes.
And I just say, and I use the word, it is done, it is so.
It is done, it is so. Okay. Hmm. Are you in New York?
You know, no. Why?
I thought it was 646 was a New York number. That's why I asked.
Well, 646 might be in New York because it's the number going through Block Talk Radio.
Oh,
but,
I see.
But my number, if you ever want to contact me for like a phone reading or something, is actually 740-500-8863. That's an Ohio number.
747-500.
No, that's actually 740-740,
okay.
Yeah, 740-500-8863.
Eight, eight,
and you're Ohio, okay. Okay. Yeah, so all you got to do is call me. I always tell people the easiest way to do it is call me, and I'll give you the website so you can go in and make a payment through PayPal. And usually people come to me all the time asking, can we do a reading for this amount of money? Right now it's only a dollar a minute. But
right.
Some people have a budget. So I was like, just call me up and we'll talk about it. And then you'll go to PayPal, which what you do is you go to my website. And what I have on there is a donation button, which makes it easier for people because everything else is on there pretty much formulated, how much the readings are. But I want to tell people, I said, you can see how much we charge for readings, but you can also see how much you're going to be saving for what you ask. And when we do these specials for the radio show, it's only a dollar a minute. And I was sitting there going, this is great, because some people only want 30 minutes, and so they'll do the $30 thing. And I said, okay,
right.
No problem, because I tell people, once you pay, I don't care if we go over or not. It's once it's done, it's over with, we just go with the reading.
Yes.
And usually, the reason I tell people most of the time to pay for it at first is because it takes that one thing off your mind so we can actually focus on the reading. And it makes things a whole lot smoother and easier for everybody.
That's so wise. Okay. Well, thank you kindly.
Oh, you're fine. I mean, I'm just saying, you're welcome. I woke up late and actually 5 minutes before the show started. So I was like scrambling around. Because I'm trying to get back to working on the website I've been working on, besides working in my shop. And every time I go to that website, I don't know what it is. It's just you look at the thing going, I don't want to do this. You know, like, I like to make $1,000. Actually, my focus is $5,200 a week. But I'm just saying, if I make $1,000 this week, that pretty much covers everything. And it's just one of those things where you look at everything. And I try to sit there and look at things as I'm focusing on things. Like with the rent, I have two affirmations. One's on my apartment and one's on my shop. And the next affirmation I was going when I sit here and talk about desires, I'm talking about what do you desire. Now my desire right now is to pay my rent 6 months ahead. But what I do, I emphasize on an affirmation that says my rent on my apartment will be paid before the end of the day. And then I have another affirmation that says my rent on my apartment will be paid 6 months in advance. Before the end of the month. Okay, so this is one of my desires. Like there was one I was reading about with a girlfriend who, put this way, I want things to be, I want to reconnect with her and actually have a certain kind of relationship. So I sat down one day and got very descriptive. I want to have a relationship with this girl that's happy, deep, loving, romantic, you know, sensual, sexual, respectful, communicative, faithful, happy, joyful, enchanting, and just kind of like started going down all these things, right?
Right, uh-huh.
And getting very specific about certain things. I was in a time with a lady one day, I said, I feel like the more detailed you get, and the more descriptive you get, it makes it easier for the manifestation to happen and quicker. Because you're telling the universe, this is how, so focused, and this is what, you know, this is the thing I want, need, and desire, that I'm actually saying, this is to help you guys understand how much I really want this, how much I need this, and how much I would really love to have this. And that's why one thing, and two, I'm doing affirmation. I would love for this to happen now. Or I would love to experience this. I would love to live this. Because I have a tendency when I talk to my angels, okay, I see the signs, but now it's time for me. I want to live it. I would love the opportunity to live this now. And most of my affirmations are like that, too. Or if I said, you know, it's a six-month thing, I emphasize on the now.
And they manifest into reality.
They have, yes. I've actually had some wild ones where I was center focused on this one where a girlfriend had left me at the time, and I was so angry with the thing. I said, my affirmation was, since she left me, she needs to come back and pick me up and take me home. And about 6 months later, when things were going out, they were a simple one I did was, I said, okay, God, you're saying me and this girl are supposed to be together. We've reconnected. But she's in Florida, and I'm here in Ohio, which is about 1,200 miles. I said, it would be great to have an answer to how that's going to happen. And about two days later, I worked for the carnival for six months, and then we were actually back at the barn, basically cleaning these machines up and putting them in storage. Well, some guy I've been working with for almost 6 months, 2 days later, came to me and said he was actually heading to Tampa, and I was more than welcome to ride with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 days after I asked about the situation.
Wow.
And then when I got to Florida, what I found out was so freaky about the whole thing, right? It wasn't just getting to Florida. I found out through some investigation, because the girlfriend's son was telling me she was in Kansas, and my intuition says she's not in Kansas. She's in Florida.
Right, uh-huh.
So I got her to fax me some information, which she was kind of hesitant on, but she still faxed the information to me anyway, and I found out, she was in St. Peter's, Florida. So I was like, I knew it, you know? So my intuition's kicking in and seeing these things, right? So I said, when I talked to Chuck and he said he was going to Tampa, where she was at was only 15 miles from where she was at.
Uh-huh.
Tampa and St. Petersburg were like 15 miles apart. So I went from 1,200 miles to 15 miles, and then I called her when I got there, and she was kind of hesitant. She was kind of hesitant on that too. I think we should take it slow. I said, you know something? And I didn't tell her I knew where she at. I didn't tell her I knew that she was in Florida.
Okay.
I just told her I was in Florida. I'm having this small conversation. I said, you know something? Forget this. So I told her, I know you're in St. Peter's, Florida. I know you're only 15 miles away. And I said, you know something? You keep telling me you love me and care about me and you really want to get together. I said, if I was in your shoes, I could not sit here and keep playing this stupid game, knowing that there's someone across the bay that I can actually be with right now.
Right,
She just kind of like, she said, okay. I don't think I can actually come over because I don't have the gas money. I said, really? All of a sudden, I hear, she said, hold on, someone's at the door. So she comes back and she goes, I guess I'm going to come over and get you. I said, why? I thought you said you had any money. She goes, someone just came to the door and gave me back some money that they owed me. So I guess I'm destined to come over and get you. So she came and got me. And this is the thing. When I put the affirmation in my book. Since she left me, she needed to come back and get me, take me home. Well, she came and picked me up.
She came back and picked me up.
Well, we went out there, and I forgot all about it because it was like 3 months early when I wrote that. And even when I wrote it, I was sitting there going, should I really write this? And my angels were like, is that what you want to happen? I said, yes. And they go, then write it down.
Okay.
Yeah, but she came and picked me up. We went bowling and stuff. Then we went we went and got a cottage that night instead of going to her house. We went to get a cottage, which I didn't realize it was a cottage. At the time, it was just a hotel room until we opened the back sliding glass doors, and all this white sand came in. I'm like, this is not a freaking hotel room. This is our freaking cottage. It's got a refrigerator, little dining room area, bedroom and stuff. I'm like, wow, this is kind of freaky. And plus, I got a good deal on it, too. The guy wanted a lot. He said $80 for the night. I was like, $80? He goes, okay, what do you want to pay? How about $60?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm looking at all these things that are happening, very positive solutions, right? And then the next day, we decided to get into, we went to her house.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I stayed until, 3 days later, I was going, I need to go back to the hotel and get my stuff. And I said, do you want me to stay here, right? And I was sitting there reading my journal, and I just happened to catch that one. I said, I want her to come and pick me up and take me home. And that's exactly what she did.
That's exactly what she did. Like, that's amazing.
Ooh, that was creepy. But, yeah, everything in the – I'm sorry, reading –
put it out there and just wait for it to happen.
Yeah, the one thing I wish I wouldn't have done is let her read my journal. Because she was sitting there going, she goes, you keep asking me if I had a boyfriend while you were gone and all this other stuff. What was you thinking about? The whole time, that I was gone. And I threw my journal at her. I said, read my journal, and you'll see exactly what I was thinking about. She started reading the journal, started reading all these affirmations and stuff. And all they were about was money to buy a house. That's one other thing, too. I actually put in there that I wanted a four-bedroom, two-bath house. I wasn't going to stay in a hotel or a freaking trailer anymore. So I started focusing on things I really wanted. That wasn't not the things I was going to compromise. And when I was in Florida, that was one of the first things we acquired. I was there focusing on $2,500 in a house, okay? And if you looked at my affirmation, it was all talking about me being with this girl and having a family together. She already had kids.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking at all this stuff. So when she read the journal, I think she was shocked that she was so fixated on getting laid and having all these things that she thought was happiness. Here's a person who was actually focusing on, who had been saying all these things to her. When she read my journal, she noticed that was what I was thinking about. I think it freaked her out. Because then she started acting really wicky, and she started doing a little bit too much. She started doing drinking almost like, I tell people, when you come to a point, you look at somebody and there's a realization. It's amazing how some people just start drinking to forget that because they feel guilty, not realizing. It's just a realization that maybe that the person you're with is the one you're with. So we were driving around one day, and we decided to go looking for this house. We had a thing about the paranormal, so we were looking for haunted houses. We found this one house was So this lady was getting decorating tips from the person who used to live there before, but she was dead. So we're kind of fascinated with that whole thing, so we went down that street. As we're going down the street, I just happened to catch a little red sign on the corner of my eye, a house for rent. And what I thought was so cool about the whole thing, what you can accomplish, your desire list will help you accomplish everything. And it won't be. And it's one of those things, whatever you need to go and make it happen, it's going to happen. So if you want to start a business, all you got to do is declare the business, I want to do this. And then be open to all the solutions that are going to come to you. Because money is a tool. So you'll probably attract it too. So that's what we did. I was sitting there focusing and saying, okay, we have no money. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, she got this thing from the government saying that they had taken this money from her ex-husband of all this back child support he owed her, and they were going to send it to her in two payments. And the first payment she was going to get, this was like 6 months before that too, and we just happened to, when we all got back together, all these things started coming together. So she got that.
Wow.
So she got that money for $2,500. It was 2,580 dollars. Okay.
Wow.
I've been focusing on for 6 months to attract $2,500 so we can actually get that house, okay? And that's exactly what we did with money. Yes, and I told my friend, I said, every time I've always asked for something, it's always been a little bit more than what I've asked for, so $2,580, I'm just like...
And $80, right.
Yeah, so it was a little bit more, but it was still... Then we took that money, we found this house. I talked to these people, I was very honest with them, too. I said, she just started a job eight days ago. I just got back here. And I have a business of mine that I'm reestablishing. But all we need is somebody to give us that. We got the money. Just give us a month to get on our feet. Yeah, just give us a month to get on our feet. Well, we got the money. And I was trying to tell my friend that the miracles were happening everywhere, okay? We're having all these things fall into place. And it was just the idea of listening to your guidance and the things I put out there. Now we're in a situation we're living in. It's going to happen, okay? So I was sitting there going, we have $2,500. We found this guy. It was a little difficult because... The guy who actually owned it was his guy's father, who didn't speak English. He was from the Ukraine. So we were kind of stumbling through the whole freaking situation, doing all this stuff. I'm like, okay, just keep going. And so I walk into the freaking place. We talk to this guy about getting the whole thing. All of a sudden, he walks out to the front yard, takes the forensic and throws it in the garage. And she looked at him. My girlfriend at the time looks at me, and she goes, do you think we got it? I said, nobody takes the forensic out of the front yard as we're here and throws it in the garage if we don't have it. So
yeah,
I said, okay, we got it. Yeah. And it all happened so quickly because I was sitting there talking to her once. I was talking to her 2 days before we found the house, and she goes, how are we going to get a house? I said, all we have to do is find somebody that will understand our situation. We got the money. All we need is someone's understanding to let us in the place. And then 2 days later, we found that house. And then after we found the house, 2 days later, 2 days later after that, we moved in. Because I remember moving in there to pay the guy the rent. It was going to be... It was going to be about $2,300 to move in. And I was sitting there going, but when I told her, I said, my guidance keeps telling me to only bring $1,850. She goes, really? She goes, okay, I'll go get 1850. She already knew me very well by the time. Every time I said something, it usually happened. Because I asked her one time about that, too. I said, since you've been with me, how many miracles have you seen? She goes, every freaking day. I said, then why'd you leave? You know, let's just forget that. So I sit there, so we get there, right? And we start talking to the guy. So I told him, I said, we need to clean this place up. You know, there's bugs and stuff. I forget this guy's from Ukraine, right? He looks at me and he goes, I said, you should knock off some money off the rent deposit because this house is going to be a lot of major cleaning and stuff, and there's bugs. And he was like, oh, you just take some paper and throw it over top of it. It'd be good. And I said, okay, this is not getting your way, is it? I said, but I knew for a fact my angels had told me, only bring 1850. And I'm like, I got it, 1850. So I just kind of what I did was I just relaxed and just started talking to the guy and saying, you know something? I said, my girlfriend wants to paint the bedroom again, a different color. My stepdaughter does not like the pink, so I had to repaint that. Then she threw it, and she said she wanted to redo the floor in the kitchen. And in the kitchenette, she wanted to redo that. And I said, the wiring needs to be replaced, and that kind of stuff. We need to change that out. And it just started going over certain things. All of a sudden, I saw him and his father talking, right? And we gave him $1,850. And he goes, you still owe us $300. No problem. Well, he came back to me 20 minutes later when we were talking about all this stuff, telling him I was going to paint the house and everything, and redo everything. His father told him, if we were going to do all that work, he said, you don't owe me $300. We're even. And there it was. I was like, I knew it was going to come out sooner or later, but when I was pushing it, it wasn't happening. When I just let go of it and just started looking at the place and saying, this is why I want to do this place, and this will actually benefit you. And all of a sudden, the guy was just like, okay, $300? You don't owe us $300. We're good. I said, okay. I knew it. And then my girlfriend, Tara, looks at me and goes, again. You know?
That's an amazing story. Y'all just said those magic like that happen all the time.
Yeah, when we looked at the house. The house was actually a full the bath. The house to me was exactly what I thought. Because I was actually fluctuating between three bedrooms and four bedrooms. And actually it had three bedrooms in it, but it had a spare room. And she had a really young child. She had a 5-year-old. And this little room had a little fan and stuff. I said, man, we can turn this into a bedroom. And also I just realized it's a 4-bedroom. And it had 2 bathrooms. 4-bedroom, 2-bath.
You want it? Okay, wonderful story. I have to run. What's your name? Psychic X-Journey.
Psychic X-Journeyman is my professional name, but my friends call me Donnie.
Bobby. Okay, Bobby, it's good talking with you. Interesting stories. Yes. Pardon me?
Hello? Just saying, take the information and change your life.
I will. Thank you. I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Have a great night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I will. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Let's go on to our next caller, which is our last caller, which is area code 808. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello. How are you? Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. My name is Ku'ulelani. Yes. And I was just wondering what you are tuning in with me. I don't know if you can give me any insight about myself that I don't know. I'm just kidding. I was just seeing what
you
saw.
No, it's okay. It's one of the situations that I know when I first started doing this show that sometimes that we get in situations going, if you think about what's out there, it can freak you out. And it's the idea of focusing on what you want and then watching how they fall in your lap. Like my goal was to do radio. And then all of a sudden I clicked on the wrong button on the internet. And next thing I know, it was on Blog Talk Radio. I'm sitting there going, okay, is that the kind of radio I wanted to do? But then again, I wasn't really specific about it at that time. I just wanted to do radio. And my friend was like, if you think about what you're doing is, you're actually reaching more people with this thing because this actually is a internet show, which means it goes everywhere. As long as people can receive internet, they'll be catching, you know, they can hear you. And I started realizing that the one thing I did specify was the idea of helping other people. And next thing I was on a grander scale. And it wasn't too far after this, some other things just started falling into place. So it's kind of funny when you start focusing on exactly what you want, what you need, what you desire, and it has has no worldly influence in the whole thing. It seems that's when you start getting these incredible stress, these successful moments in your life. So when you sit and focus on you in particular, it's the ideal, almost like looking at your life and wanting to reformulate the whole thing. Almost like something within yourself keeps focusing on, there's something more here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just not the ideal work, relationships, and that kind of stuff. There's a prompting in you. That prompting is more of getting really more connected to yourself again. I don't know how to describe it. It's like people looking at certain things, and they have this prompting to be more. They're more than this physical body. It's what it is. So you're focusing, you want to sit there, and all this physical stuff exhausts people. But when they start focusing on spiritual stuff, the spirit will actually connect and attract everything to you. So it makes everything easy, so you're not so freaking exhausted. And it's the ideal that I know for a fact when I started doing the really spiritual stuff here and the kind of thing, I've actually had more time to do things. It's always when I focus on the fear, like, I have to work here, I got to go to the shop, I got to do this. Well, I don't have no time for nothing. But when I slow down and say, okay, when I slow down and stop and say, okay, what do I want to do today? And what I'll do is I'll ask my angels, sometimes it's one of those things that's in there, just tell me a bunch of stuff right now. And they'll sit there and go, so what do you want to do? And they have a tendency to do like I do, people. When they sit there and go, does this guy like me? I go, does he? That's something you should know. And they'll go, well, I asked you. I said, yes, that's true. But the answer was to ask you. But what it is trying to teach somebody that the guidance I'm listening to, you also have as well. So what my guidance was telling me, what do you want to do today? What is the prompting with you right now? I said, I don't go hiking. And he said, go hiking. Every time you do something for yourself, you'll see your life improve in a more positive way because you're no longer pushing yourself to the side because you are the ones creating this whole freaking thing in the first place. If you push yourself and your needs to the side, everything that crosses your path, everything that comes to you is basically to supply something for you. You, even if you're a person that loves to give to charity, you have to be really in tune with yourself and do things for yourself so you can attract everything you need to give to the charity. But it's all about you. It's everybody selfish about, you know, we've seen people do all the time, money, 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 money. But if you can tell the difference between the selfish ones and the ones who are doing it for the right reasons, you'll see people out there giving service. And I always feel like the people who are really giving service, too, have no problem with money. If you see people that have problems with money, I had a friend of mine like that, too. She had a problem with money. She made lots of it, but she was always behind her bills and things just said wasn't happening. Then we figured out one thing. It was something she didn't feel like she deserved. So we changed it by using one affirmation, by saying, everything you desire, you deserve. Everything that comes to you is because of what you've given, the intentions you put out there. It was kind of funny. We did the simple one for her. You know, you deserve what you desire. All of a sudden, she started exceeding. Now she was in Europe. She actually saved the money up and everything she needed to go to Italy. And right before the summer, that's exactly where she went. And she would find these places and situations where she realized that she had a great career because no matter where she went, as long as she was self-employed, she could always attract a situation, an opportunity to always have what she needed. And that's what she did. So she traveled pretty much across Europe. She came home earlier in September because she had to, because her mother died. But it was kind of funny to watch a positive person become a negative one. And it was like one of those things of feeding into the worldly stuff. And most people go, well, her mother died. Yeah, but think about it. I understand the connections and the ties. But her mother, she's a spiritual person. She knows exactly her mother's not gone. Her mother's just moved on. And it was one of those situations. And I also noticed that they had a very bad relationship. And that's what she started doing. She started feeding into guilt. She said, well, at first when I talked to her, before all this ever happened, she always used to talk about how mean her mother was to her, why she distanced herself from her mother because of her mother's actions. All of a sudden her mother dies, and she just changed the whole format, like she'd done something wrong. You know, am I being mean? I said, being mean for what? Because the situation had turned around? I said, what you're doing is you're feeding into guilt, but I think it's one of those situations that you got to look at it for what it is. you distance yourself from somebody because of their actions. So you had no other choice. And it was there. So they have to take the responsibility for that too, as much as anything else. And it's almost like a person, instead of allowing that to be so, was taking it all on their own shoulders, not allowing that happen. Which pretty much,
yeah.
It's amazing when we start taking the responsibility of everybody else. And this kind of situation is how our abundance, our prosperity, money situations, everything seems to be more, it just seems to change. Nothing works. We don't realize the reason it's not working because we're not really focusing on those things. We're focusing on what's best for everybody else. And we don't realize we're also attracting people in our lives. And we're going, how come these people are so chaotic? Because you're not focusing on yourself.
Right?
Cause you're not focusing on yourself, so you're attracting these people into your life to reflect back at you that you need to focus on you. Because these people are not focusing on themselves either. They're looking for everybody else as a solution, not realizing that when we do that, when we were doing that simple meditation at the beginning of the show where we talk about focusing, bowing your head, and focusing on the space behind your heart and connecting with yourself, that's what you should do in every situation. It's chaotic. Reconnect with yourself, and then you understand what's going on. Because all those intentions you put out there, and I think it says flat out, it doesn't matter if it's intentionally or unintentionally, you're always manifesting in your life. So they say,
yes,
what's best for you to do is to be intentionally manifesting things. So therefore, and most people didn't catch that one, I'm intentionally manifesting this, but why did it happen? You know? Why is this person here? Go ahead.
I'm trying to intentionally manifestate this idea and this concept and this vision. And I know that the universe is giving me time to write it out, to try to achieve it. It's just getting it all together. And I feel like my biggest thing is moving out of a place in fear and moving into really knowing your value and worth. It's kind of hard when you are one of those type of people that want to hold everybody up, but when people don't love themselves, there's only so much holding you can do. You know, and it's hard to know when to let go, because especially if they impact not just your life, but people you care about, but you feel like this weird sense of obligation to go through tumultuous suffering for somebody else's wrongdoings or bad habits or their lack of understanding or lack of self-love. So I have the hardest time letting go. I realize that is the biggest problem I have ever had, and I think it's I think it's common for a lot of people that don't have much to not let go. Like if you didn't have any kind of stability, you kind of try to don't like change. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, people don't realize that change is stability. Change is stability. Why? Because if you look at your life and let go of the things that you're actually hanging on to, you'll realize that your life has always been progressing forward in the process of letting go of things in favor of what you're trying to accomplish. But then you get to the one place where you're like, oh, I got to hang on to this. Some kind of insecurities came to the surface and said, okay, why are you hanging on to that? You know for a fact from past experiences that every time you let go of something, there's always some great growth. You have a tendency to have a realization about yourself. There's always emotional, spiritual growth that goes along with it because your perception changes. So we know all the good things that happen with it. And it's kind of crazy when we see things like that happen too. But we also know for a fact that when you let go, like the term let go and allow God, if you sort of think about the situation we were talking about before the beginning of the show, when we talk about the three magic words are, I am God. I create my reality. I create my life. You still can take God out of it because that's what people, most Christians and people do. So, well, you're taking God out of it. No, I'm actually working with God. It's co-creation.
Right.
You're expecting God to do everything, and it's like the old joke, okay? You know the guys and it starts raining, there's a flood. Next thing you know, his whole neighborhood starts flooding. He asks God to save him, and then he sits there and goes, he gets on top of the roof. You know, it's like he's asking for things. Okay, so he has a two story house. He gets on the second floor, and then all of a sudden a guy comes by in the canoe, and he goes, hey man, jump in. He says, no, God's going to save me. And then so he gets up on the roof. A guy comes by on a freaking rubber raft and says, hey, man, jump in. And the guy goes, no, that's okay. God's going to save me. So now he's up on the roof, and he's hoping. And instead of going, okay, come on. And then a helicopter comes by. He says, come on, man, jump in. And the guy goes, no, God's going to save me. The next thing you know, he drowns. He's in heaven, and he looks at the guy and goes, what, you know, what happened? I asked you for help. He goes, oh, really? I sent you a canoe, a rubber raft, and a helicopter. What else do you want me to do? I sent you the opportunity
exactly.
to save yourself. You know? So therefore, we're working together.
I think Yes, that is true, but part of the thing, that's the human part, the attachment part, is knowing that you got to be a little bit sad, because it's like when you love something and it's you know, not, like, okay, let's say you have your, let's say it's your body. You have your whole body,
right.
But your arm is infected. You love your arm. You know you need it, but if you don't cut it off, the rest of your body is going to be infected. Sometimes, it's that pain of losing that arm is like what has it, you know, why people decide, mm-hmm. oh, I'll just let it go through the body and maybe my immune system will be strong enough to deal with whatever is going to attack me. Even though I know the best option is to cut off my arm, I'm just going to hold on to it because there's a chance maybe it'll get better. And I think that this
I think I could add to the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
No, the only thing I was going to, say was, you're focusing on a worldly perception and a worldly solution. Okay, you're looking at your arm in a human form. Okay, and when I heard you say this, I said, "Well, we go the other direction and realize we have the power to heal ourselves. So therefore, we don't cut the arm off. Maybe we can even go through life in the process of the things that we really. Because a lot of us have a tendency to push the one thing to the side that we really need. We've seen this in relationships where there's a person that's really good for you. You push them to the side in favor of something that's not. So if you look at the situation, what you said, you're going to sit there and go for the easy solution instead of actually tapping within yourself and your true power, because some people say we have to be a little God. No, we are God. I mean, if you look in the Bible, Jesus said flat out, you are gods, and you will do greater works than I do. It's your human body that tells you otherwise, that makes you feel insecure that you can't do those things. But once you sit there and get your mindset with the Spirit, then your body will reflect the same thing too, and you'll start realizing as a whole, as a unit, you're a very powerful person, that you don't have to go through those things. We've seen people, when I do healings, really what I'm doing is I'm creating a vortex with that person, and they're also tapping into me as a perfect pattern, like a computer. With a computer with a corrupted program, it will tap into another computer to heal itself or correct that program.
Right.
We can also do the same thing with ourselves in the process of healing. Okay, so if I can do that, if I can also do the same thing with myself and create that vortex within myself to heal myself, it's just, and I've done that before too, where I've had people touch my hands. And they go, ooh, you've got some healing abilities, don't you? No, I have a lot of healing abilities. But it was kind of funny how people know those things. But it's kind of funny how we have a tendency to denounce those things within ourselves when we could actually realize we're a full unit. And I'm just saying, the reason I say that, because I say focus on yourself in a spiritual way, which means what you do for yourself will be a great example for others to do the same for themselves. So if you're sitting there and you go, okay, I'm not going to cut my arm off. I have a strong ability that I can actually heal myself. Once you heal yourself, can you imagine when people see you do that? They're going to start wondering what they can do. And they start tapping into other people's abilities. They start tapping into everything. Everybody's psychic. You can't go with the whole thing. You're a loving being because we were talking about this earlier in the show. We were talking about imagine the sun. The sun has rays. Each one of those rays are us. But without the sun, we're just a flick on the ground. But once we realize that once we get reconnected to the source, we are this aluminum being. It's just reconnecting to our true selves. But we're still connected to the source. So what I do in metaphysics, I don't take God out of the equation. I sit here and say, if you're created in the image of a God and you are a God, you still have to be humble and grateful for the source who gave you life, which means you've been connected
to the
source your whole
life.
Yeah, but you honor the source by also, in many, many ways, okay, you can say, thank you, God. But also, when you sit there and look at another person and you say, I love you, or you need some help, I can help you, you honor God in those in action, too, as well. Because you're a loving being and you're giving that love out. And also the situation, you were created basically in love too by what, you know, God was like, here, we created you, so therefore you go out and create something more too as well. And the more you honor yourself, the more you honor God. Because you're sitting there going, I love God, so therefore I love myself. When I love myself, I love God. But this is the true spiritual sense. We have people out there and say, I love myself, and they focus on materialistic stuff. hair, plastic surgery, and all this kind of stuff. That's a totally different self-centeredness, okay? We're talking about, I guess you would say, we're talking about spiritual self-centeredness, where we're sort of going, we have to love ourselves before we can love another. And the idea of honoring that we do love ourselves, we also honor who also loves us, which is God. So therefore, we can go out there with a lot of confidence and say, yeah, I can change the world, but I can only change the world in the process of what I see and the idea of changing myself and my own perceptions to realize I have no limitations. It's what the world tells me that I do. And the world's like that. It's amazing how the world do that, too. You're going to die. I'm sort of going, if we're going to die, why do they keep reminding me all the time? If I have a hereditary disease, why do I have to be constantly reminded of that disease? Is it really true, or is it not just, it's not physical, a physical ailment that's hereditary. I think it's hereditary thinking. And when you start focusing and changing your perception, people are freaking out going, it's a miracle that you actually got rid of this ailment, which was actually hereditary, that's been going down generation after generation. But if you look at the generations, the one thing the generations never did is change their perceptions of what they could do. They just fed into they let the disease become the center of their world, and it basically killed them. But if you look at the situation, that kind of focus, they killed themselves. I mean, look at people with suicides. It's the ideal that suicide and depression, to me, is when people start focusing on the worldly way and get mad at themselves because they can't live up to it, not realizing they never was supposed to. It's the ideal. One thing I've noticed about people that are very spiritual, realistically, we don't care what you think of us because we're so confident with ourselves. And we know for the fact that there's a lot of responsibility of taking on this kind of work and helping other people. But we didn't realize when we first started, I know, me personally anyway, every time you help a person, you help yourself. Every time I give someone advice or give some kind of insight to the situation, if I listen to what I'm giving to somebody else, my guides are saying, everything that crosses your path, everyone, everything, every situation that crosses your path is something for you to learn about yourself. So therefore, if you pay attention to the whole thing, and I even have a prayer, it says, and when I do readings, that everybody will be blessed. You know, and the people go, oh, yeah, all the people here, right? I said, no, me and you and everybody else. We're all, you know, what is this? What is a spiritual connection? Something that happens every freaking day with every person that crosses your path. So therefore, when you ask for something, you're always getting it. It's just the idea, are you paying attention of what you just saw?
That is true. I've been looking at it very worldly. I think, and it's good to have these shows and these kinds of affirmations to bring you back to a more spiritual state of mind, because when you're trying to understand spiritual through, like, world's eyes, it doesn't work. And when you're trying to, you know, and I've been trying to do both. I've been trying to do both, and it's just one way or the other. You know, it's not, like, I can't incorporate both necessarily, and in ways I can, but I've been focused too much on the world and not necessarily on the abilities that's offered and the character building that comes with it. You know, so, I know I'm so blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I'm
that's
thankful
what I have.
For that.
That's
I'm thankful
thing.
For it.
That's the thing. That's the thing I have with people come to my door all the time with the pamphlets and stuff. Don't you ever wish your life was blessed? I said, well, one thing we know for a fact, you're not psychic, are you? Yeah, you're not psychic because you would know I get blessed every freaking day. I said, for example, the one story I like telling the most is when I got my shop, because I left for a while and came back here to get the same shop back, and I was told that I would never be able to get that shop back because the city doesn't recognize it as a retail space. It was very small. I said, really? I will never get that back. They'll never do that. They'll never change. And I sit there, I walk away and going, I look at that shop and I go, no, that is mine and I want that. And I let it go. And I came back up here about last October, well, it was actually last September, and not this last September, September before, about a year ago. And there's a for rent sign up there. And I'm sitting there going, yes. So I get this freaking shop.
Yes,
I tell people. So I look at people. I said, this was an impossibility that became a reality. And I said, the reason it became that way is because, yes, I wanted it. I was very, very strong about it and very I'll put my foot down, put that way. Yeah, it's my shop, and every time I was up there, I would every time I walked by it, I go, that's my shop. I want that shop. But I wouldn't dwell on it. And then I just let it go completely. And about 3 months later, I saw the sign, I called the people, and I never said anything about the idea what I'd heard. I just knew there was a for rent sign up there. I called the lady. I didn't have the money for it either. I could have had the money for it if I would have really seen it for what it was, you know, saying, okay. I noticed that, too. I made a lot of money, so I should have had the money to pay the rent 6 months on that whole freaking part, that shop when I mm-hmm. first got it. But I had made a lot of money, which I hadn't made a lot of money in a long time. So I was getting – I got a lot of things, okay? But it was one of those chain reaction kind of things. I got the shop, and next thing I know, I got an apartment about half a block from my shop. I was just saying things. You know, I would like to live really close to my shop, so I can testimony
to manifestation too as well mm-hmm. because I was, you know, I dropped out of high school and I got pregnant and I doubled up on all my classes and I walked, and when I got done, people were like, "Oh, how'd you do it? Like, you weren't even here for a whole year." But it's believing in your capabilities, believing in yourself. And now I have 4 kids later, and I got my BA, and people are like, "Well, how'd you do it with 4 little kids and 2 jobs and going and helping all these people?" And I'm like, God gives you the strength. And as long as you put it in your mind and you have it in there, mm-hmm. the power of manifestation, since we're all like stardust, is so powerful. You just really got to get connected. And I think that's why the universe had me call into this show, because – I was looking at really worldly ways, because you are who you hang with, and I've been hanging around some negative influences and whispering in my ear.
Yeah,
and I'm letting others,
they'll...
you know, you. I mean, if you're, you know, if you empathize with people, you pick up energies, and sometimes I pick up a lot of different energies, and I'm like, oh, why am I feeling this way? And I realize that I didn't even shield mm-hmm. myself. I didn't even... honor the spirit in me. I just went full force in some direction and then wonder why I got so much going on.
Yeah, but, you see those other people out there. They're looking at everything as a problem. So they're not looking for the solution. They're looking to justify to be a failure. I mean, you look at the situation.
Yeah,
like, well, you have 4 kids. How'd you do that? You know?
Yeah, the solution comes through the experience, the challenges, the trials. You just have mm-hmm. to have the right mindset, I mean, perception, when you go into it, saying that I am and I can. I didn't want to be autistic. I looked at my child when he was born, and I said, I'll be damned if he tells me I'm going to get a GED because my mom did. You know, so I doubled up on all my classes, and I walked, and I made it, and my son was 6 months old. Yeah, it was hard. I had to stay up every night. I had to go to high school lactating. It wasn't something I was proud of, but it was something that it didn't matter the challenges, because that defined the character that who I was going to become. I was a really selfish person, and that really expanded my mind in so many different ways. And it allowed me to be the person I truly am, which is a mother and a lover and a healer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll drive you crazy.
So,
the same thing too. Well, sometimes you look at the situation, people looking at you as being selfish too. What is selfish? Well, selfish is probably their perception of how they see you. I have a daughter who has 4 kids too, and she's still going to school.
Yeah.
Now she's doing a good. She's got a master's and she's got a PhD. A PhD is it a PhD? Anyway, she has a lot. She's graduated. I know she's got a master's, and she's got a thing. And business management, all this other stuff. And I was sitting there talking the other day, I'm going, she always finds a way to go to school. And everybody else, everybody around her goes, I think you're being selfish and you should buckle down and start working. Well, see, the problem is, the whole time she's been going to school, she's always had a job.
Exactly.
We just want her to start doing what she's basically has the schooling for. So I asked her the day, I said, you took all the schooling for business management and all this other stuff. Why are you not doing that? Because she said, I changed my mind. I really don't want to do those things. I said, well, okay, good answer. That's really a good answer. She's basically said, I don't want to do those things anymore, so therefore I found something I really want to do. And she's actually going through the process. I mean, going to schooling and that kind of stuff is not easy.
No,
and then
it's not.
Now it's nursing. She doesn't want to just do nursing. She wants to get I think she said she wanted to get a master's degree in nursing and RN and the whole thing. She just wants to do everything right. So it's kind of funny when you see the criticism around it.
I mean, nowadays, you need a master's. In the healthcare field, like, I got a bachelor's like a couple weeks ago.
I just realized
you need a master's.
Mm-hmm.
You need a master's or 2 years or 3 years of experience. So, you know, for all those youngins going to college, halfway through you should start volunteering somewhere.
Yeah, but I think the society needs to have more appreciation for people who do have the knowledge. They're the ones who are going to teach the younger ones, the young snappers, the idea of the whole situation. Because it's not about knowledge. It's about experience. And, you know, one thing you can't teach people, I've seen this with a singer. There was some of this one singer where she was just certain things about her voice. You just can't teach that. It's something that they have. It's like a realization. It's like, think about it like this, okay? Spirit's like this. Spirit is not what you become. It's what you realize you are. And the more you realize what you are, the more you come in tune to what you can do. If you tap into your physical body, it's always going to show you limitations. But my thing is, okay, find those limitations and then surpass every one of them. You have to know where you're coming from. My daughter's doing what she's doing, but you know something? Do we really have the right to criticize? Because maybe she came here to do exactly what she's doing.
Exactly. We're not the creator. We can't judge the process. You know, like, people have their plans, but God determines their stepping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and those four souls are supposed to be here for a purpose and a reason, and a lot of people think that it's selfish to bring those lives in the world when you can't really take care. But all forms of security is really superficial when you think about it. So why not give a rhythm and a beat a chance to thrive? Why are you going to be controlling that idea? And so I didn't feel selfish when I brought the kids into the world. I just felt like I really wish I would have waited so I can give those souls more. You know, they don't have to come in and do it so hard.
Everything happens for a reason, and they're here. So there must have been a reason for that. If they only came in the world for one thing, to motivate you, because those four little children are actually four little extensions of you. So you're like the example of God. God, you are an extension of God, so therefore you just take it one more step further, and your children are extensions of you. You can't really look at it any other way. Creation constantly happening. And you said looking at your kids as being problems, you looked at it for what they were and who they were. Yes. And you look at everybody else who's having all kinds of problems, or the lady you hear who sticks her kid in the refrigerator because she can't deal with it, because she's trying to figure it out through a worldly concept, not getting the answer she wanted. So basically she did something stupid and came up with a solution on her own, but it was all made in fear. If she would have looked at the situation, I mean, we all think of the same thing. And we could judge the situation. I'm just saying, when you start to look at situations like that, you can almost tell how she made that decision. It was definitely made in fear. And there was so many other solutions. And I know for a fact that talking to so many people and myself, guidance is always happening. Guidance is there for everybody. So for some reason, for a split second, she fed into fear, which took her, well, you could say the fear created a block, so she couldn't hear what she needed to do. Was to take that child and, you know, if you can't deal with it, give it to your grandparents or give it to your parents or give it for adoption. But the idea of the solution you made, you know, it was made in fear because it was a death decision. It caused harm and chaos in someone's life. In the child's life, it caused harm and death. In her life, it caused chaos and for her to go down a different path where she basically, most people look at it, she says she ruined her life. But realistically, if you look at the situation, if she starts focusing on her guidance again and starts realizing it was always there, she can still make better decisions and probably even get herself out of the situation. Because the thing I know for a fact is miracles. Miracles are things that defy reality as we know it. So if you look at the situation, people would say, well, you know, you ruined your life. Did she really? Or was it something she needed to come here to motivate herself to really connect to spirit, to really connect to what she can really do, her power? Her essence. Maybe she needed to go through this crazy situation, but you know something? We have to realize, too, that baby that died, was also a soul, so it never died. It was just a physical death. So God probably already forgave her before it even happened because he knew what was going to happen. We can't. Sometimes people can't fathom the idea of forgiveness on that whole thing, but then again, that means they have to learn to forgive themselves for something. They can't get past the whole idea to forgive this girl. So it's always a constant. It's like a chain reaction of learning, 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 learning. Or some people who refuse to.
Yes.
And I think they still learn how to be stubborn.
They learned that one first.
Well, I'm just saying, I had an experience where a lady came to my shop, and we were sitting doing a reading for her, and she looked at me, she goes, "So am I condemned to go to hell?" I'm like, "Okay, why, because you got the reading?" And she's like, "No, no." She said, "A year ago, when I was 16 years old, I had an abortion. Am I going to hell?" I said, I looked at her, and I said, "Sweetie, you've already been forgiven, so forgive yourself. You did what you had to do. As long as you're not a person that's going to keep repeatedly doing the same thing over and over again, then I guess that we could get a little angry with you. But the souls, the little spirits, they just came back. They just go back to where they came from." And people said, you basically hurt my soul. No, that's human bullshit. You can't touch the soul. We have a human body. We have auras. We have an aura. We have chakras. And it's almost like the soul is protecting itself and the body. And if we have that faith in there, nothing can hurt us. Nothing.
Exactly.
Even when people do try to hurt us, well, look, I'm going, "I'm sorry, but you can't hurt me. You're just hurting yourself. So you thought you'd take it out on everybody else. Well, it stops here because you're not going to do that to me." But I've actually had people do that too. I asked a question. I had a girlfriend. I said, "Hey, how do you feel about me?" And this one, we basically broke up. And she's like, "Well, I see us as friends." I said, "I'm sorry. I never asked you what you saw. I asked you how you felt. So don't divert the question. I think you should give me respect enough to give me an answer to a question I ask you." And she was like, "Well, I don't like you pushing me into anything." I said, "The only reason you feel pushed is because you refuse to move forward." And my friend was like, "Whoa, okay." I also told her, too, in the same kind of context of certain things, I said, "You know, when you see me and you think I'm an awesome, great, fantastic person, you're just seeing yourself. So why are you not allowing yourself to evolve into something you see, which is through me, which is the best compliment you can give anybody and say, you know, okay, I'm a great, awesome person. Well, thank you for coming in my life to actually acknowledge that to me because of who you are. So just admit and accept me for who I am, which will help you also admit and maybe embrace who you are because you're just seeing your future. But it's definitely in there. Let it out. And I said, I can look at you and see where I came from to appreciate where I'm at. So see, we compliment each other." And you know, she still went back to the thing, "I think we should be friends." And I came back and said, "I don't." Yeah, she got mad at me because I said, "No, I can't go down. I can't go back to being something I'm not anymore because we evolved into something more. So I can't go back to just being friends." And I said, "Plus, since you can't be a good girlfriend, what makes you think you're going to be a good friend? I got to move on."
Exactly.
You know, so I'm sorry. But you can't even be a good, and you were a good girlfriend, what happened? So therefore, with that kind of doubt within yourself, how can you expect to be a good friend? Because I'm a person that I will tell you flat out how I feel. My one friend, I got a couple of friends that don't like that, but I think they still appreciate it in the long run. Because it's like...
No, that's the way to be.
People say, "You're mean." I said, "I'm not mean. I'm just being mean."
You're honest.
It's the ideal. Yeah, you ask me a question, or you say, like this one girl was sitting there telling me, she goes, "When you come and see me, you have to make compliments. You don't have to say those things." I said, "Sweetie, I don't have to say anything. I say it because it's true, and that's how I feel, and that's what I see. So why don't you just stop telling me what to do and be it?" And she was like, she just looks at me real blank face going, you know. I said, you know, like, what was the one comment I made to her? I said, "It's kind of dark, isn't it?" And then she turned around. I said, "There we go. Thanks for lighting everything up with the beauty that you have." And she was like, "You don't need to say things like that. Just take it for what it is and say thank you."
Right?
Her problem is, I think she has more feelings she's willing to admit right now. So she has to denounce everything. And she wants me to stop doing that because it's kind of like, it's weighing on her, going, if you